Casino Time, starring Fred Allen, with the international favorite Miss Gracie Fields, Portman Hopper, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. This is Arthur Godfrey giving out with a great big yo welcome for Texaco dealers coast to coast. And welcome to all the skilled help your Texaco dealer can give to keep your car delivering essential transportation. Right now, with winter coming on, that help's more important than ever. Take your car around to your Texaco dealer and get it set for cold weather. With insulated Havoline motor oil in the engine, the right grade of Texaco gear lubricant, a Marfac chassis job from stem to stern, and a high-quality antifreeze in the radiator, your car's ready to take the toughest treatment cold weather can hand out. See your Texaco dealer first thing tomorrow. Make him your car warden. Let him help you care for your car, for your country. Well, folks, we're all having our troubles getting coffee, meat, and fuel, and tonight we bring you a commodity you get too much of, and here he is, excuse me, Fred Allen.
Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Arthur, I just found this on the floor. That's the worst of conjunctions. You see, a butt is apt to fall out of the script any time, and you have to pick it up. Pure conjunction in the script. Well, Arthur, what have you been up to all week?
Oh, nothing much, Fred. I registered my tires, and I re-registered for gasoline.
Good for you.
And I got so many stickers on my car now, my windshield looks like Mrs. Roosevelt's suitcase.
A friend of mine lost his A card, Arthur. He couldn't drive his car, so he brought it into the parlor and jacked it up.
In the parlor? Why didn't he put the car in his garage?
Well, he's still using the cigarette lighter and the radio in the car, Arthur. And speaking of the radio, did you hear Mr. Benny's program tonight?
No, Fred, no. What happened?
Well, you tell me. As usual, Don Wilson's commercial stole the show, Arthur. Benny was broadcasting from Terminal Island out in California tonight. You know, terminal, I looked it up in the dictionary, terminal means end. So Benny has finally reached the end tonight. Dorothy Lamour was on the show, too, Arthur. After being in the road to Mandalay, the road to Zanzibar, and the road to Morocco, Dorothy must have felt as though she was up an alley to get on that program. But the thing went along that way. Benny sang White Christmas. He's the only man in the world who can sing White Christmas in Technicolor. White Christmas with blue notes. But in the middle of the program, when Dorothy Lamour came in, Benny said, "It's really her. It's really her." And you see, I'm from Boston, Arthur. Mm. When I heard that grammatical error, I fainted and missed the rest of the program. But enough about the old Fumford, Arthur. Let's turn to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C. The Board of War Communications issues order prohibiting all telegraphic greetings this Christmas except to soldiers and sailors in the expeditionary forces. The BWC further rules...
All New Year, Easter, Father's Day, Mother's Day, wedding anniversary, and birthday greetings must be discontinued.
Tonight, the March of Trivia interviews a group of workers directly affected by the new telegram ruling. First, Mr. Chilton Chowder. You are a telegraph employee, Mr. Chowder?
An ex-employee.
Oh, an ex-employee.
I was vice president in charge of kiddygrams.
Oh, I see.
I've been composing kiddygrams for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the first kiddygram to be sent over the wire.
The first kiddygram?
Yes.
Well, how did the first kiddygram go, Mr. Chowder?
Kitty, kitty, oogle, goo. Gurgle, gurgle, glove, glove, boo. Dad and mother say to you, a da, da, diddums, a goo, a goo.
Now that kiddygrams are through, is your career ended?
No, I've got a job in radio.
Oh, really? In radio? Doing the same kind of work?
Yes, I'm a gag man for Baby Snooks.
Oh, I see. Well, Baby Snooks can probably use a change, and thank you, Chilton Chowder. A young lady messenger who was happy about the new ruling was Miss Tallulah Trudge.
What us messengers has been going through is nobody's business.
Running errands, you mean, Tallulah?
We've been minding babies, lugging bon voyage baskets, shoeing horses, walking dogs.
Well, you messengers walk dogs, do you?
One old dame phones for me every day to take out her dog. It's a Pomeranian.
Oh. A Pomeranian, huh? You exercise the pup, do you?
The dog's so old it can't walk. I gotta grease its stomach and drag it around the block.
You drag the dog, you say?
Yeah, and every noon I gotta take the Pomeranian to a delicatessen.
Oh, really? Well, what does he eat?
He makes his own decisions.
The dog orders its own food?
I hold up the mutt and move him along the meat counter.
Yeah?
When he sees something he likes, he drools.
And?
Well, I buy half a pound. Then I drag the Pomeranian and the meat back to the old lady.
And then?
Well, the dog's so old, he ain't got no teeth.
So?
Before he can eat, I gotta chew his meat for him.
And then you're finished?
Finished? Nothing. When the dog gets through with the meat...
Yeah?
I gotta take the bone up to Central Park and bury it.
That is Western Union Service. It's a dog's life, and thank you, Tallulah Trudge. And now to messenger boys.
We're Slim and Sam. For 8 years, we sang singing singagrams.
Oh, singing messenger boys, sir. And this new ruling has put you fellas out of work?
No, we got one more telegram to deliver.
Well, what is your vocal farewell, boys?
Happy birthday, Marshal Rommel. A cake we'd like to bake you. We'll give you greetings just as soon as we can overtake you. Signed, Ike Eisenhower.
Well rendered, and thank you, Slim and Sam. Well, I guess that takes care
old of... Old George Jibes, old Sonny Jim, Falstaff's here to flaunt his whim.
Now, Openshaw, you're not here again with more of those soggy poems.
Have you heard, there we were making merry, she sipped her phosphate, I munched my cherry?
No, I haven't heard.
Or, when I put the turtle in her girdle, that's what broke up me and Myrtle?
No, I haven't heard that either.
Please don't interrupt, Judge. Let my mother finish her sentence.
Now, wait a minute. You've gone too far. You cad, you compound bore. Tonight, we are talking about the restrictions on telegrams.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
What is it called?
Mother's Day won't be the same.
Well, how does it go?
Mother's Day won't be the same without a mothergram. A message fraught with sentiment. Sincerity, not sham. I remember blank 6-1 with forget-me-nots in blue and 10 words to tell you, Mother dear, my thoughts are just of you. Some years I sent Mom Form 8B. It read, Mother, you're old and gray, but happy, joyous wishes, Mother, for this is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. No, Mother's Day won't be the same. My mom is going to affect. For each year I send Mother her mothergram, and I always send it collect.
Well, thank you. Here is Arthur Godfrey with a telegram that hasn't been restricted. It's from Uncle Sam, isn't it, Arthur?
Yes, Fred. Uncle Sam's gone into the tire business. He's going to buy every idle tire in the country.
What are idle tires, Arthur?
Well, you see, you're entitled to 5 tires to a passenger car, Fred.
Uh-huh.
If you've got more than that, they're idle tires.
Mm-hmm.
And they must be sold to our government before December 1st. And remember, that's the only place you can sell them. You'll be paid OPA ceiling prices for your idle tires... And Uncle Sam will ration them out to essential users.
Well, what happens if you don't sell your idle tires to Uncle Sam?
That man with the whiskers ain't fooling, Fred.
Not kidding, huh?
If you've got extra tires and don't sell them, you won't be able to buy any gasoline. Because everybody's got to file a tire record with his local rationing board showing how many tires he has and their serial numbers.
Well, how do you sell your idle tires to the government, Arthur?
If you've got more than 5 tires to a passenger car, Fred, Uncle Sam wants you to keep the 5 best for your own use. So go to your Texaco dealer and have him select the 5 that'll give you the longest service. You keep those.
Uh-huh.
Then you call your local office of the Railway Express. The Railway Express will deliver your idle tires to the government appraiser without charge to you. And you will receive a check for them, or war stamps if you prefer, by mail. This is a must from Uncle Sam, ladies and gentlemen. If you have more than five tires to a passenger car, you must sell those idle tires to our government before December 1st. Don't put it off. And for further information and for help in selecting your five best tires, see your neighborhood Texaco dealer.
Maestro Goodman finally completed a number tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It was "You're a Grand Old Flag," and that about takes care.
Mr. Alice!
Of course, Len.
Alan!
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute, Portland. What is this?
Well, I'm leading a cheer for you.
A cheer?
Come on, everybody!
Wait a minute. Stop that sissing. You may start a trend in here with that. What inspires these stadium antics, c'est soir?
Mama and I saw the Yale-Princeton football game yesterday.
Really? Did you do any rooting?
Yes. Mama and I cheered for Yale. We have one of their locks.
Ah. It's not the same people, Portland. These people have another business. They raise ivy up in New Haven, the Yale team. Yale has a much better team this year, you know. Last fall, the football team was so bad, Yale changed its name from Old Eli to Eli. Say, I wish I had been in that game yesterday.
Oh, did you ever play football?
Oh, on our high school team years ago, the High School of Commerce up in Boston, I was left swayback for two seasons there. I had a chance to play with Fordham, but someone found out you could pronounce my name, so the deal fell through. I didn't have a ski on the end of it to take off for cold weather. But enough about football. Our guest is on the two-yard line.
Coming tonight?
Well, you'll know in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet one of the world's foremost entertainers, a charming lady who is here on a lend-lease arrangement with Great Britain. Meet Miss Gracie Field. I didn't send them, Gracie. There's a card here. I'll see what it says on the card. It says, "To the one and only Gracie Fields, an appreciation of all you have done for the British Empire." And it's signed all of your friends in Canada and also our Canadian sponsors, the McCall Frontenac Oil Company. Gracie, those are for you.
That's very nice, Fred. The folks in Canada have always been very kind to me.
Yes, if I get that many flowers when I die, I'll be surprised, Gracie. But I'll take these home for you after the program. Where are you stopping?
I've got digs over on Park Avenue.
Digs on Park Avenue?
Yeah, it's a big cement bungalow. Some family called Waldorf runs it.
Well, you'd better take the flowers home, Gracie. I can't get in the Waldorf.
Well, you mean the Waldorf is too swanky?
Oh, you can't get in the Waldorf unless you have caviar on your breath. Stop at the door. Why, I hung around the door of the Waldorf all 1 week hoping there would be an air raid drill so somebody would push me in the lobby, but it was no door.
Don't worry about the flowers, Fred. I'll take them home myself.
Fine. I know you've given a lot of shows at army camps in England, Canada, and the United States, Gracie. Tell me, did you entertain many of our American soldiers in England?
Yes, Fred. I've met hundreds of boys from the United States in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is a part of the United States, Gracie.
That's funny. The boys I spoke to gave me the impression that Brooklyn was a kingdom.
Brooklyn isn't really a kingdom, but a lot of people have been crowned over there. tell me, how are the boys getting along back home?
Oh, fine, Fred. I think a lot of Brooklyn families are going to be surprised when their boys come home with a British accent.
No. No, Gracie, if the Brooklyn boys stay over in England long enough, Mr. Churchill will get up in Parliament someday to talk about the Axis and say, we'll murder them bums. Speaking of slang, Gracie, do you have any trouble with our idiom?
No, Fred. When I told some of the American soldiers I was coming over here, they taught me all your slang.
Oh, good. You know all of the words then, huh?
Oh, yes. If I want to impress people, all I have to say is, don't kid me, big boy. I'm a jerk.
That's to impress people, you say that.
You said it, brother. I'm hip. What's boiling?
Why, you are as sharp as the end of a roundhouse, Gracie. You have certainly mastered our slang.
There's only one thing bothers me, Fred. It's your jittermugs.
No, it's not mugs. It's jitterbugs, Gracie. Have the jitterbugs annoyed you any?
Well, the night I was on Rudy Valley's program, right in the middle of my song, some jitterbug shouted, swing it!
Yes, swing it. That's a common expression.
Swing what?
Well, Gracie, that is entirely up to you. Tell me, is vaudeville coming back in England the way it is in this country?
Vaudeville will never really... Well, it never really died in England, Fred. Audiences at home are loyal to their old favorites.
I know that.
Have you ever played in London, Fred?
Yes, Gracie, but that was 50 years ago. Long before your time.
Are you kidding?
Why, Gracie, the bloom of youth is on your cheek.
If it isn't, my second childhood...
Well, let's praise the Lord and pass your inhibitions, Gracie. I want to ask you about English audiences. You know, one thing puzzled me when I was over there.
What was it, Fred?
Well, every time I finished my act, instead of applauding, the people always sang East Side, West Side. Why was that?
Audiences in England are very polite, Fred.
Oh, I see.
They wouldn't come right out and say, why don't you go back where you came from?
That is why they sang East Side, West Side?
Yes, they were trying to make you homesick.
So that's what it was. Well, those were happy days, eating fish when I was in the chips. I had a good time over there, Gracie.
I'm going back to England soon, Fred. I'll tell them.
Good. Someday I think I'll get my old vaudeville act together again and go back to London.
Not now, Fred.
Why not?
London can take it, but there's a limit.
That's done it, Gracie. Now, how about doing a favor for me? How about a song?
Would you like to hear I never cried so much in all my life?
I certainly would. Mr. Whitman, if you will.
Joe took me to the movies the other evening. It was fine. They called it The Betrayal, and the acting was divine. It's the best film that they've had for years round at the Hippodrome. And it's a good job I took my handkerchief with me when I left home. Oh, it was a lovely picture, and I did enjoy it so. Oh, I never cried so much in all my life. When the villain seized the maiden, everybody shouted, oh. Oh, I never cried so much in all my life. He told her that he'd wed her, then enticed her on his yacht. Then he got her tied up in a proper sailor's knot. Then he kissed her twice, the dirty dog, upon her beauty spot. Oh, I never cried so much in all my life. It takes a lot to make me cry, but oh dear, when I start and think of what that girl went through, I'm like a water cart. I see her eyes, I hear her voice at night when I'm in bed. And here's a scene I'll never, never get out of my head. As she faced the blinding snowstorm and came trudging through the town, oh, I never cried so much in all my life. Oh, and when I saw her carrying her baby upside down, oh, I never cried so much in all my life. She lingered near the Rose and Crown. The wind was howling wild. When up the village street there came the father of her child. So she tapped him for a tanner, for a pint of old and mild. Oh, I've never cried so much in all my life.
The song was very nice, Stacy. I'm sorry we haven't time to let you do an encore, but if there is anything I can do for you...
Well, there is, Fred. I've often wondered how some of your American radio programs would sound if they were done in England.
Well, tonight's your night, Gracie. We'll show you. If you heard that popular quiz show, Take It or Leave It, in London, it would probably sound something like this.
This is the Westminster Wireless System. The correct time is Tuesday. And now we present London's favorite quiz, the program that made the 64-shilling question famous. Accept it or pip off. And here is your genial quiz master, Philbert Allen.
Thank you, thank you. And welcome to Accept It or Pip Off. Our first contestant is your name, sir?
Rodney Charteris III.
Right you are, Rodney, old muffin. And what would you like to converse about, Rodney?
Well, I think I should enjoy discussing higher geometrical calculus.
Higher geometrical calculus. Righto. And your first interrogation for 1 shilling is, Rodney, how do you spell calculus?
Calculus.
K-A-L-K-U. Calculus. L-O-U-S-A.
Calculus.
I'm sorry, Rodney. You funked it, old boy. You funked it. You might have done better on We the Moron. Our next contestant, a lovely lady from Upper Hampton Eve, Miss Gracie Fields. What would you like to chit-chat about, Gracie?
I think I'll talk about music.
Right you are. And your first question for 1 shilling is, what instrument is this?
It's a piano.
Right you are. Now you have 1 shilling. Will you pip off or try for 2 shillings?
I'll try.
Very good. For 2 shillings, why does a piano have 3 pedals on it?
So the installment collector can get a better hold on the piano when he takes it away.
Right you are. Your next question for 4 shillings. Will you pip off or try again, Gracie?
I'll risk it.
Very good. What violin player has never appeared in Carnegie Hall?
Yasha Benny.
Yasha Benny. Now for 8 shillings.
I'll have a go at it.
You regret it.
Quiet, quiet, quiet. All right, Gracie. For 8 shillings, why was the lost chord never found?
Because nobody ever advertised for it.
Right you are. Now you have 8 shillings. You can pip off, you know, or try for 16.
I'll try.
Righto. Your next question, when Annie Laurie died, what key did she die in?
The key of D. Annie said, I'll lay me down in D.
D is correct. You have 16 shillings, old girl.
I'll try for 32.
You regret it.
Quiet, 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 please. Well, here we go, Gracie, for 32 shillings. What song has a note in it, and the note is not in the musical scale?
The Furious Five.
Right you are. Now, you know you can pip off with your 32 shillings.
I'll try for 64.
64.
You regret it.
Quiet, quiet, you. Now, for 64 shillings, no assistance from the audience, please. That huckster preferred there. Gracie, tell me, what is the exemption theme song of any local draft board?
Rubinstein's Melody in 4S.
Right you are. Here is your 64 shillings. Accept it or pip off. Well, is there anything else you'd like to hear, Gracie?
Yes, I wonder how those little commercial jingles would sound in London.
Oh, I imagine they'd sound something like this, Gracie. Meet Orville's Horseradish Singers.
Orville's Horseradish, it's the spot. Comes in the Andy to pan pot. It's divine on bloaters and kidneys too. Orville's horse is the radish for you. A shilling, 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 shilling.
You see, Gracie, any of our radio shows would sound just about the same in London.
Ah, but there's one radio program you couldn't do in England.
Which one?
Gangbusters.
Oh, don't be silly, Gracie. Gangbusters would probably come out something like this.
Cripps Crispy Crumpets presents Mob Bursters. Tonight's guest sleuth is the famous detective, Sir Leslie Ellen of Scotland Yard. Sir Leslie Ellen.
Thank you, thank you. Tonight's story is the true tale of the Fleet Street bank robbery and how the infamous blighter, Bad Bertie, London's worst bank robber, was apprehended.
However did you get on his trail, Sir Leslie?
No
one night I was sitting in me. I was sitting in me Scotland Yard office, stroking me bloodhound, mind you, when a police call came in over me shortwave, sir.
Calling Scotland Yard. Calling Scotland Yard. Fleet Street Bank has been robbed.
As soon as I got the call, I leaped on me velocipede, pedaled away like the very wind. When I got to the Fleet Street Bank, mark you, Bad Bertie was emerging with the swag in one hand and a pistol in the other.
Oh, heavens, what did you do, Sir Leslie?
I shouted here, "No, you don't, Bad Bertie. No, you don't."
What happened?
He did.
Now, Mr. Leslie, what transpired?
The blighter shot me twice in the Inverness, once through the gaiters, and got away.
You lost him?
A stool squabs told me he was hiding out on Baker Street. I combed Baker Street from door to door.
Yes?
I'm Sir Leslie Allen.
We don't want any.
I'll try the next door.
Yes?
Is Bad Bertie in here?
Not likely. This is the YWCA.
I shall try here.
Yes?
Who lives here?
Nobody. Lucky Strike Green has gone to war.
Well, there's more. One more house here. I'll try here.
Sir Leslie Allen of Scotland Yard.
Dowdy Dora, Bad Bertie's gun mall.
Bad Bertie ain't here, Sir Leslie.
You haven't got two heads, Dowdy Dora. There's two teacups set on the table. The jig is up, Bad Bertie. Come out.
Right, you are, Governor. I was hiding behind this antimacassar.
I apprehend you, Bad Bertie, for the robbery of the Fleet Street Bank.
You got me wrong, Sir Leslie. I'll admit I broke in, but I wasn't robbing the blasted bank.
Not robbing?
No, I was putting money back.
Putting money back? Why, old boy?
It's the new $25,000 ceiling.
How do you mean?
I stole $30,000. I had to break into the bank to put $5,000 back.
Right you are. Well, how do you think our programs would work out in England, Gracie?
I'd rather not be quoted, Fred. Good night.
Good night, and I thank you, Gracie. Well, next week, ladies and gentlemen, our guest will be the new Metropolitan Opera star, James Melton. And now, Arthur, if you have a P.S.
I have nothing to say, Fred, but if your car could talk, it would say, brrr, cold weather's coming.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.